I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
First, I want to address the president's unhinged remarks a few minutes ago, begging me to call him. No, I will not call the president, asking him to send troops to Chicago.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker strongly rejects Trump's threat to send the National Guard to Chicago. Federal agents are already massing at a military base nearby. We'll speak with Democratic Chicago Congressmember Chuy Garcia. Then, in a slew of legal developments, a federal judge has ruled Trump broke the law when he deployed the National Guard to stop immigration protests in Los Angeles. A conservative federal appeals court blocked the president from using the Alien Enemies Act to deport Venezuelans. And Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has authorized some 600 military lawyers to serve as immigration judges. We'll get an update. And we'll speak with New York Times contributor Jean Guerrero about her new essay, The Border is Invading America. Then to the case of a military veteran who's been charged with conspiracy for joining a protest against ICE. It's seen as a test case on how far the Trump administration will go to punish dissent. We'll go to Spokane, Washington.
I'm Dejan Mavawala, and the FBI sent 10 agents to arrest my son at 6 a.m. on July 14th for nonviolently protesting against ICE in Spokane, Washington last June.
What?
My son is an Afghanistan veteran who held a top secret security clearance and has never had any kind of arrests or criminal record. He also helped rescue 40 Afghan refugees after the U.S. withdrawal, half of whom were minors. This is the state of the country under the Trump regime.
Both he and his son are retired National Guard. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Officials in Gaza say Israel's killed 113 Palestinians over the last day, including 33 people seeking food. Al Jazeera reports an Israeli drone strike killed several children who are in line for water in Al-Muwasi, which has been designated a safe zone. This comes as Israel intensifies its attack on Gaza City, where Israel's attempting to forcibly remove the city's entire population of over 1 million people. On Tuesday, mourners gathered at Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City to hold prayers for those killed in Israeli strikes.
They had gone out to get clothes. We fled our homes with nothing. They went to get clothes and to get food from their homes, to bring clothes for their children and to get food for themselves because of the situation. We are sitting in tents. We fled with nothing. And look now, they came back as martyrs. And most of the martyrs are either from the Zakim crossings because they were getting aid, or from when they went to bring clothes, a blanket, or a mattress to sleep on.
Israel's begun mobilizing 60,000 reservists for its push into Gaza City. Here's Eyal Zamir, the chief of staff of the Israeli Armed Forces, speaking with reservists.
We are preparing for the continuation of the war, continuation of fighting. We are going to enhance and deepen our operation, and that's why we called you.
Meanwhile, hundreds of Israeli Army reservists say they will not report for duty if they're called to serve in the Gaza City offensive. At a Tel Aviv news conference, Sergeant Max Kresh said, quote, "We are over 365 and counting soldiers who served during the war and have declared we will not report for duty when called again," unquote. Meanwhile, protesters in Jerusalem took over the roof of the National Library building overlooking the parliament, calling for an end to the war. Israel's army radio reported 13 protesters were arrested.
We came here today to demonstrate in front of the House of the Parliament, to demonstrate and to tell them to bring our hostages back home and to end the war. We need our soldiers back home. We need our hostages back home now. It's been too long for them to stay there. Stop the war now.
Belgium will recognize a Palestinian state at the UN General Assembly this month, according to the country's foreign minister. Comes as France, Britain, Canada, and Australia have all announced they were also prepared to recognize the state of Palestine at the UN General Assembly. Belgium also plans to impose 12 sanctions on Israel, which include a ban on all products from illegal settlements in the West Bank and a review of public procurement policies with Israeli companies. This comes as the Trump administration faces growing criticism for suspending visas for Palestinian passport holders, including for Palestinian officials set to attend the annual UN General Assembly. President Trump said Tuesday the U.S. attacked a boat in the southern Caribbean, killing 11 people. Trump claimed the boat was carrying drugs from Venezuela, but offered no proof of the claim. The Pentagon recently sent warships to the region after Trump secretly authorized the use of military force in Latin America under the guise of the war on drugs. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro has repeatedly warned Trump is seeking regime change in his oil-rich country. This is Maduro speaking Monday.
Mr. President, Donald Trump.
Mr. President Donald Trump, you must be careful because Marco Rubio wants to stain your hands with blood. South American, Caribbean, Venezuelan blood. They want to drag you into a bloodbath to tarnish the Trump name forever with a massacre against the Venezuelan people, with a terrible war across South America and the Caribbean. This would be a full-scale continental war. They want to stain Donald Trump's hands with blood.
In immigration news, a U.S. federal appeals court blocked President Trump from rapidly deporting Venezuelans suspected of being gang members under the 18th century wartime Alien Enemies Act. In a 2-1 ruling, the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals granted a preliminary injunction, quote, to prevent removal because we find no invasion or predatory incursion has occurred. The Fifth Circuit is considered to be one of the most conservative appeals courts in the United States. The case is expected to head to the Supreme Court. We'll have more on this story later in the broadcast. A federal judge has ruled the Trump administration broke the law when deploying the National Guard to Los Angeles this summer to quell protests against immigration raids. U.S. District Judge Charles Breyer raised concerns that the deployments are, quote, creating a national police force with the president as its chief, unquote. The ruling comes as President Trump said, quote, we're going in when asked about federal troop deployments to Chicago and Baltimore. He repeatedly called both cities a hellhole. Yesterday, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker was joined by Chicago officials when he reiterated his opposition to federal troops in Chicago.
Trump and his team will be looking for any excuse to put active duty military on our streets, supposedly to protect ICE. We have reason to believe that the Trump administration has already begun staging the Texas National Guard for deployment in Illinois.
We'll speak with Democratic Congressmember Chuy Garcia of Chicago after headlines. In other immigration news, Bloomberg's reporting ICE is about to get access to a controversial spyware program built by the Israeli-based company Paragon. A $2 million contract was signed last year, but the Biden administration then issued a stop order blocking government agencies from using the spyware, which has been used to target activists and journalists in Europe. Meanwhile, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has authorized up to 600 military lawyers to serve as temporary immigration judges. The head of the American Immigration Lawyers Association, Ben Johnson, warned the decision will gut due process and undermine the immigration court system. He told the Associated Press, quote, it makes as much sense as having a cardiologist do a hip replacement. We'll have more on this story later in the broadcast. The House Oversight Committee has released over 33,000 pages related to the federal investigation into the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein and his associate Ghislaine Maxwell. But according to Democratic lawmakers, 97% of the files were already public, and the files are just a tiny fraction of the total documents. On Tuesday, a number of Epstein survivors met privately with House Speaker Mike Johnson and a bipartisan group of members of the House Oversight Committee. Meanwhile, Republican Congressman Thomas Massie and Democrat Ro Khanna are holding a news conference today with with Epstein survivors. Massie has also filed what's known as a discharge petition to force a floor vote to compel the Justice Department to release all of its Epstein files. If every Democrat backs the measure, Massie will need the support of five other Republicans for the move to succeed. A group of Epstein survivors and family members have also done a joint interview with NBC News's Hallie Jackson. She asked them about their interactions with the Justice Department.
Show of hands, did any of you hear from the Justice Department before they released that memo, that two-page memo earlier this summer? No hands. Were any of you told that Todd Blanche would be speaking with Ghislaine Maxwell prior to that interview over the course of 2 days?
No.
Were any of you told about the prison transfer that Ghislaine Maxwell?
No.
Were any of you, do any of you feel that the DOJ has communicated with you enough this year?
No.
Have any of you had any communication with the DOJ?
No.
Chinese President Xi Jinping hosted Russian President Vladimir Putin and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and other world leaders at one of the largest military parades in Chinese history today to commemorate the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II. For the first time, China unveiled its triad of nuclear-capable missiles as thousands of Chinese troops goose-stepped across Tiananmen Square in Beijing. In a post on social media, President Trump addressed President Xi, quote, "Please give my warmest regards to Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un as you conspire against the United States of America," Trump wrote. Putin and Kim also met on the sidelines of the military parade. Putin reportedly thanked Kim for sending North Korean troops to fight in Ukraine last year. In Brazil, the trial of former President Jair Bolsonaro has entered its final phase. Bolsonaro and seven of his allies are accused of plotting a coup after he lost the 2022 race to Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. On Tuesday, the court indirectly criticized the Trump administration for interfering in the trial. Justice Alexandre de Moraes, who has been sanctioned by the U.S., said from the bench, quote, "We will never lack the courage to reject those who threaten our national sovereignty or the independence of the judiciary." On Tuesday, President Lula criticized the U.S. meddling.
There's no reason to fear an American accusation. What's happening with the U.S. is that it has exacerbated anything we've known in the history of humanity, of a government meddling to judge the conduct of another country's justice system.
A U.S. federal judge ruled Tuesday Google does not need to sell its Chrome web browser, but it does need to share its search data with rivals. The ruling's widely seen as a victory for Google, as the Justice Department has asked the judge to force Google to share more of its data and sell Chrome in an effort to break up Google's power as a search monopoly. Google's still scheduled to go on trial in a separate case brought by the DOJ about its monopoly in online advertising. And President Trump's nominee to lead the Bureau of Labor Statistics, E.J. Antony, reportedly discussed gender differences in IQ scores with interns at the Heritage Foundation. According to the Washington Post, Antony remarked that women's scores clustered around average IQ scores, while men were more likely to display scores at the higher and lower end of the distribution. Antony would replace Erica McIntyre, who Trump fired after he accused her of changing a jobs report that showed lower than expected employment growth. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
We begin today's show in Chicago. On Tuesday, President Trump said, quote, "We're going in," when asked about federal troop deployments to Chicago and Baltimore. He repeatedly called both cities a hellhole.
There's no place in the world, including you can go to Afghanistan, you can go to places that you would think of. They don't even come close to this. Chicago is a hellhole right now. Baltimore is a hellhole right now. Parts of Los Angeles are terrible.
Can you make your mind up on Chicago, though?
Well, we're going in. I didn't say when. We're going in.
This comes as a federal judge ruled the Trump administration broke the law when deploying the National Guard to Los Angeles to quell protests against immigration raids. U.S. District Judge Charles Breyer, the brother of retired Justice Breyer, raised concerns the deployments are, quote, creating a national police force with the president as its chief, unquote. Yesterday, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker was joined by Chicago officials when he reiterated his opposition to federal troops in Chicago.
In the coming days, we expect to see what has played out in Los Angeles and Washington, D.C., to happen here in Chicago. First, Donald Trump is positioning armed federal agents and staging military vehicles on federal property, such as the Great Lakes Naval Base. Second, unidentifiable agents in unmarked vehicles with masks are planning to raid Latino communities and say they're targeting violent criminals. As we saw in Los Angeles, a very, very small percentage of the individuals they will target will be violent criminals. Instead, you're likely to see videos of them hauling away mothers and fathers, traveling to work or picking up their kids from school. Sometimes they will detain, handcuff, and haul away children. Third, as lawful citizens exercise their First Amendment rights, Trump and his team will be looking for any excuse to put active duty military on our streets, supposedly to protect ICE. We have reason to believe that the Trump administration has already begun staging the Texas National Guard for deployment in Illinois.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker said federal agents have already begun staging at a military base near Chicago. He was joined by Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson.
Instead of using militarized ICE agents to terrify our communities here in Chicago, instead of sending in Border Patrol to our city to detain mothers and fathers who have called Chicago their home for decades, working class people who pay their taxes and make our community stronger, they should direct those resources to taking down gun traffickers so that we can finally put a stop to the violence. If the Chicago Police Department had a fighting chance, we could end gun violence in Chicago. But as long as this president allows hundreds of thousands of guns to come into our city, we will always be fighting an uphill battle.
For more, we're joined in Washington, D.C. by Democratic Illinois Congress member Jesus Chuy Garcia, who represents Chicago. Welcome back to Democracy Now!, Congress member. So can you first respond to what is happening? How advanced are the troop deployments to your city? And what's your message to President Trump?
Good morning, Amy and Juan. Glad to join you. Unfortunately, we don't have a whole lot of information about the deployment of both federal agents or how many of them will be deployed. And then, of course, the even greater fear that the National Guard would be deployed. We get little bits and pieces of information, including a tip that Texas National Guard elements might be used in the mobilization. But clearly, this is not about public safety and it's not about law and order. It's a show of force meant to intimidate, to create fear, and send troops to occupy cities because people in those cities largely and overwhelmingly oppose Donald Trump and his policies. That's really what's behind this, as well, of course, as creating distractions from the Epstein files. There's great fear in the White House that there could be implications for the administration. I think the California redistricting response to the illegal blatant gerrymandering in Texas and the fact that we hosted much of the Texas delegation. And of course, the D.C. Mobilization, militarization that also rejects Trump. And as we saw this weekend on Labor Day, on Monday, there have been protests against the Trump policies all over the nation, and those will continue. That's what this is all about, distracting from the fact that the cost of living continues to rise and that people are hurting and that no legislation has been introduced, no policies have been rolled out seeking to control the cost of living and provide relief to the American people.
And Congressman, I wanted to ask you on Labor Day, I was at the march that was held where you spoke in Chicago, and many of the immigrant rights activists there were telling me that the people that they're in contact with in their communities, many of them are staying home from work or keeping their kids out of school because of all of the word that is spreading about this upcoming raids. This Saturday is going to be the Mexican Independence Day parade in Chicago. Your concerns about how the parade might be used by federal agents and even by provocateurs?
A great question, Juan. Yes, one of my concerns is that for several years now, it's become quite a tradition where especially young people take to the streets in their cars and their pickups and their vans, and they're waving Mexican flags. They're expressing their Mexican pride and having a good time. And it occurs all over the city of Chicago, including in the downtown part of Chicago. My concern is that such a setting provides a very ripe opportunity for those who want to sow discord, those who want to create clashes, to do so. And of course, there is also a grave concern on my part that this announcement of federal agents and the mobilization of the Guard comes on the eve of that celebration, which is an annual affair. And for example, 26th Street in the Little Village community where I live hosts perhaps the largest Mexican Independence Day parade in the country, where up to 250,000 people have assembled to enjoy this wonderful celebration. And of course, there is concern and fear that these events commemorating Mexican independence will be used to repress, to intimidate, and to try to create clashes so that there's imagery of people fighting with the federal agents, with local police, certainly with National Guard if they were to be deployed. So these are among the concerns that we have, and it certainly seems that they are timed to coincide with this celebration.
And I wanted to ask you also, Trump continues to rail against sanctuary cities and threaten to withhold federal funding, but Chicago was the nation's first sanctuary city. Could you talk about that history? Because you were there when it happened.
Yes, this year is the 40th year since Chicago's mayor at that time, Harold Washington, issued an executive order because Latinos were being profiled. They were being harassed by immigration agents. Today, they're known as ICE agents, including Puerto Ricans who were stopped and interrogated and asked for their papers. The mayor was really upset about this and issued the executive order, which recognizes immigrants' contributions to Chicago, great, long, rich history of many immigrant groups that have come to Chicago and made it their home. Similarly, the growth of Chicago's Latino community, especially its huge Mexican-American and immigrant communities, are very concerned about what is going on. And the city, of course, has reiterated its sanctuary status, its welcoming immigrant-friendly status, both by codifying the executive order into an ordinance and strengthening it. And of course, this has been replicated in the Illinois legislature by both chambers with Republican support. And of course, the mayor, the governor has been a big champion of protecting and defending immigrants' rights, and most importantly, their constitutional rights in this new second Trump administration. That's the history. Chicago has been a refuge for immigrants, for women's reproductive rights, for the LGBTQ community. And let's not forget that Trump is holding a grudge because when he began his campaign for the White House in 2015, Chicago pushed back against his hatred and his divisive rhetoric. Let's not forget that at that time, he was attacking Mexican immigrants for being criminals and rapists and the worst of the worst. And that's been used to try to justify the deployment of the National Guard and the federalization of National Guards in several states. We've seen it now, of course, in L.A. and California. We've seen it in D.C. And Chicago, of course, seems to be the next target of Trump and Stephen Miller again to stir up fear, to attack immigrants and to pursue deportation quotas. And most importantly, to try to pit people against each other.
Congressman, on Tuesday, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson said Trump's threatening to send troops to Chicago to distract the public from other issues.
This president doesn't care about gun violence. He just wants his own secret police force that will do publicity stunts whenever his poll numbers are sinking. Whenever his jobs report shows a stagnating economy, whenever he needs another distraction from his failures, that's what this is about.
So two quick questions. He's talking about Chicago being the distraction for Trump. You're a Congress member. You know the huge push that's now becoming bipartisan to release all the Epstein files. And survivors are speaking in Congress. This is a serious threat to President Trump because his MAGA base is also demanding the release of the files. Do you think this push against Chicago and Baltimore and the more dramatic language Trump is using is to distract attention from hearing these survivors of Epstein and call for the release of the files, where we understand he's mentioned a number of times?
Absolutely. It's a distraction, a total distraction, because from Washington, D.C. to Chicago to Baltimore, crime rates, especially the most serious crimes, have gone down and continue to trend downward. Misinformation is being used to justify an authoritarian takeover without a doubt. That is why this is being ramped up at this time. Today, we're going to be hearing from a number of survivors of abuse in the Epstein episode, one of the darkest episodes in our country, especially as it exploits and traffics in young women. And there seems to be a great paranoia in the White House about full disclosure of these documents. And that's why we will continue to push for the resolution, the discharge petition, to put it to a vote in the House of Representatives to see what people will do. But without a doubt, this is a total distraction from the real issues of the day. That includes the Epstein files, the cost of living, and of course, Donald Trump's fate in the courts, which are in real danger because courts are threatening to undo his tariffs. They have found that he has illegally mobilized the National Guard, and they're losing in many critical cases in the federal courts, even though it's a very slow process, but they're not winning like they expect to do. And that's why they're trying to distract the nation.
Congressmember Chuy Garcia, we want to thank you very much for being with us. Congressmember Garcia represents Chicago, where our co-host Juan Gonzalez is as well. When we come back, a slew of new judicial rulings on Trump's use or misuse of the National Guard and the immigration crackdown. We'll speak with an attorney with the American Immigration Council, as well as New York Times contributor Jean Guerrero, about her new essay, The Border is Invading America. Back in 20 seconds. love by Las Cafeteras here in our Democracy Now! Studio. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. We look now at a slew of legal developments with the Trump administration's deployment of National Guard troops to U.S. cities and his broader immigration crackdown. On Tuesday, U.S. District Judge Charles Breyer, the brother of the retired Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer,